We're going to talk about that as well, plus a bunch of other stuff to get to this afternoon. All right, so my email went absolutely crazy earlier today. Private messages on Facebook coming in, a letter from the DNR to the Diversion Authority. And one of the emails I got says, Jay, Minnesota DNR rejects Diversion Authority claims regarding Oxbow, Hickson, Bakke, Ring Dyke. All right, does that mean anything? Well, I figured we better make some phone calls and get some folks on. And joining me on the program, as always, is Nathan Burseth with the MNDEC Upstream Coalition. How are you doing this afternoon, Nathan?
Doing great, Jay. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Also joining us, Daryl Vanio, and he's the chair of the Fargo-Moorhead Diversion Board Authority. Daryl, thanks for the time this afternoon.
Sure.
All right, I'm not going to read through the whole letter. And the reason I have both you two gentlemen on, of course, this is going to be all over the news tonight. And I figured let's get the folks on that know the ins and outs of this. Basically, the letter, I'm just going to read part of it, gentlemen, and get each of your take on it. And this is from the DNR, the Minnesota side, of course. As we indicated in our January letter, it would be unlawful for any Minnesota government unit or organization of which it is a member to commence work on a component of the FM project unless there is an independent basis for that component part separate and apart from the FM project. Of course, they are referring to the Oxbow Hickson Bakke levy. However, we also continue to acknowledge that because the OHB levy is entirely within North Dakota, the Minnesota DNR has no jurisdiction over construction of that levy. In light of the jurisdictional challenges and to protect the integrity of Minnesota's environmental review process, we will consider the OHB levy as a component of the FM project in the state's EIS. And the EIS, folks, is the Environmental Impact Statement. Consistent with Minnesota law, Minnesota DNR will not be making any final governmental approvals on the FM project or any component thereof until the state's EIS, again, Environmental Impact Statement, process is complete. Heads are spinning. Chairman Vanio, what does that mean for the FM diversion? What does that mean for the Diversion Authority? And what does that mean specifically for Oxbow, Hickson and Bakke, and the levy?
Well, I think the parts that you read would give some indication for both sides to hang their hat on. In one breath, they do talk about the fact that the Oxbow Bakke Hickson project is part of the project, and therefore, as a Minnesota entity and following Minnesota state law, it couldn't be started on. Yet they say, however, we have no jurisdiction over the beginning of the construction. So I've had two conversations directly with Mike Carroll, and in both those conversations he indicated there's nothing that the DNR can do to stop us from proceeding with construction. That's what the letter states. But obviously their desire would be that we wait until the EIS is complete, as the last paragraph states, so that they could then say yay or nay formally to that whole process. And I think it pretty much is kind of riding the fence on that they're following state their protocol and state law, but at the same time they understand that they have no jurisdiction in stopping something from starting in North Dakota.
When Mr. Vanio, when do you see moving forward with the levy down there in Oxbow, Hickson Bakke?
Well, the intent, based upon the last Diversion Authority meeting, where we gave the go-ahead to have the Cass County Joint Water Board proceed with taking bids and then awarding contracts, sometime in May, would then start construction in July. And it's a several-year process, so that was, the process of what we were under.
Nathan Burseth with the MNDEC Upstream Coalition, what is your take on what the DNR had to say, the letter they sent out?
Well, I think it's a good indication or positive news for upstream folks. I think what Mr. Vanio and I can agree on, that the DNR rejects his claim earlier in the year, in January, that this is an independent project. Mr. Vanio claimed it was independent. This letter states it's not independent. But also that Mr. Manu is ignoring the state that they have no jurisdiction. It states that any Minnesota governmental unit or organization that's involved cannot commence on this component of the project, which would be the ring dike. We have Moorhead, the city of Moorhead, and Clay County involved in this project through the diversion authority. So, one, they're already in violation. And furthermore, it's not, it hasn't been completed yet as to if there will be any impacts into Minnesota because of this ring dike. And I can guarantee you Minnesota won't take this lightly if it's a project that's just because it's all taking place in North Dakota. If there are impacts in Minnesota, the DNR will step up to the plate and make sure this is halted in the event that Mr. Vanier wants to move into a June or July construction date.
What does rejecting the claim mean?
Well, you know, there was a letter in January sent to Mr. Vanier, January 14th to be exact, questioning this ring dike and if it was part of a diversion or if it was an independent project. And Mr. Vanier claimed it was an independent project. And of course, we being the Upstream Coalition, claimed in the JPA, we claimed it was part of the project. And it obviously, as they state that in the letter as well, that the ring dike is 9 feet higher than the FEMA 100-year flood protection and 7 feet above the U.S. Corps' 100 protection. So it was very clear the Minnesota DNR disagreed with the diversion authority that it was independent. And I think anybody that's involved in this project was just extremely disingenuous to say that this project is separate from the diversion. And so that rejection acknowledges that the Minnesota DNR knows it's part of the project, and they would rather not see anything move forward. Now, are they threatening litigation in this letter? More than likely not, but they're staking their claim to say, beware, you know, you have Minnesota agencies involved in this, government agencies. We're watching this closely. If there's any impact in Minnesota, there will be a price to pay.
Chairman Vanio, does this mean Minnesota on the Minnesota side, Moorhead and Clay County need to proceed with precaution? Do you think they'll change their views on anything?
I think the fact that Minnesota is not involved financially in anything that's going on the North Dakota side. That what we're doing is strictly North Dakota, Cass County, and Fargo dollars. And the fact that Minnesota has already indicated to the DNR here that they cannot halt us moving forward with construction, I don't think that there's anything that's stopping anything with this letter.
Mr. Vanier, the MOU is between the Diversion Authority, which Moorhead and Clay County are part of, and the City of Oxbow. So how could you say they're not, just because they haven't pointed up any dollars, you're still requesting that the levy count towards the local match for federal money for the project, and that's stated in this letter as well. So that's a little misleading to say just because they're not putting dollars
Mr.
into it,
when,
they're still part of it.
When I... Go ahead.
No, that's all I have.
You know, I've met with countless attorneys over this matter, and you or I are neither attorneys. I would rather put the faith in the attorneys about the exact statements and the MOUs or anything like that. The fact is that independent utility is what our attorneys will argue in terms of a project. And since my conversations with Mike Carroll did not indicate that we had to stop anything, then there's nothing in this letter that changes anything.
Well, I'd agree with you. Neither one of us are attorneys, and obviously our attorneys disagree, but you have to agree with me that the DNR disagrees with you that it's an independent utility.
Our attorneys don't necessarily agree with that, but that's neither here nor there. And what was attempted to be done here is your wish would be that the DNR stop the process of construction. It didn't do that. Anything else that's discussed with regard to independent utility is something for courts to decide.
Well, I don't know if it's necessary. I think anybody involved in a project would like to see the correct hoops to be jumped through and rather than circumvent. And I think it's the Diversion Authority the wish to bully through this project and process without going through the due diligence and the correct requirements.
Mr. Vanuel, Daryl Vanuel, by the way, joining us. He's the chair of the FM Diversion Board Authority, also Nathan Burseth with the MINDEC Upstream Coalition, and discussing the DNR's take on the Oxbow Hicks and Bakke levy. Mr. Vanuel, if the DNR continues, when the EIS comes out, the environmental impact statement comes out, and the DNR is still against it, or says that, hey, look, this isn't part of the project, it's separate. In any way, shape, or form, does this have an effect on federal funding, Daryl?
I think the only piece that, if something were to come out from the DNR with regard to Oxbow, Bakke, Hickson, but nothing else with regard to the diversion, then I think only that piece that deals with Oxbow would be under any jeopardy.
So, Mr. Vanuel, you're willing to spend $70 million on a project that might not ever be utilized or required if the diversion ever goes through?
Well, since the opposition is the one who argued that there's a loss of revenues in the Kindred School District that should be paid for by the Diversion Authority, and we made a commitment to Oxbow to put the Kindred School District whole and not to have loss in values. And since we've committed to doing this project, there's been sales in Oxbow, which would indicate that they will not only get their value back, but to surpass what they had before. I'm willing to do that, yes.
But that's a little disingenuous to say that you're willing to make Kindred whole. I mean, they requested a reduction, and you opposed that in taxes. And then also, in regards to the ring bike, that halts any future growth up there. So even if it doesn't go through, you're stopping the growth in that Bakke area. And, you know, you talk about Oxbow, Bakke still overwhelmingly rejected this plan. So it's a little bit one-sided to say you're helping out Oxbow. You're helping out Oxbow. You're giving them a brand-new country club. I mean, that's a pretty sweetheart deal. But Bakke sits over there, and they're being enclosed in by a 16-foot ring dike and halting all their growth. So
And Mr. Burseth, can I ask you how you're impacted by the diversion directly?
And how am I impacted by the diversion?
Are you impacted in your four-piece parcel of land in any way directly impacted negatively by the diversion?
Sure, Daryl. If you want to talk about personal, the difference probably between the way you view things and the way I view things, we view things down in our area as an entire community. Whether it's my neighbor or it's myself or it's my community or my church or my school that's being impacted, I'm going to take a vocal position. Now, your maps indicate that my personal property is not affected. But in a matter of fact, it is affected indirectly in many several ways. So I completely disagree that you think that anybody only those who are directly impacted financially on their own land, that's just a very narrow view of how you view this project and us, and how the difference between us and you is we come together as a community.
Likewise, for most of the board members of the Upstream Coalition who have little or no impact.
I fail to see your point on that. You know, we all have times, talents, and treasures, and some of those who are directly impacted don't feel comfortable standing up and speaking out against this atrocity. And so some of those other neighbors have stepped up to the plate, and maybe other folks have other talents that they are using. So I really fail to understand why you take it so personally that some of us that aren't directly impacted with our property, but we are indirectly, you find that just so outrageous.
I'm not taking anything personally.
All right, gentlemen, I think we'll wrap things up here because we could end up going on for the whole afternoon. And I know this is close to people's hearts. It's affecting families on both sides. It's a battle that's going to go on for a long time. I appreciate the time coming on and giving both views on what this means for the this letter that came from the DNR, what this means. Chairman Vanuel, so again, we're going to Diversion Authority is going to continue to move forward with doing the ring diking around OHB. And what did you say, sometime in July that would start?
Well, that's the game plan as set forth at the last authority meeting, yes.
And Nathan Burseth, MINDEC Upstream Coalition, I know you've been fighting this fight for a long time. And what's next for you?
Well, you know, we'll continue to monitor this closely, what the diversion authority decides to do in the next step. Obviously, with this ring dike, we're under close consultation with our attorneys. There are a lot of options for us to get on the table, and we'll continue to fight this fight. We're not going away. It's unfortunate it has to come to the courts, but, you know, when we have to find out what's going on next to our land via the media rather than a conversation across the table with the diversion authority, we are left with no alternative. So we're not going away anytime soon.
Darryl, let me ask you before I let you go, because that's something I hear a lot on this program. I get a lot of emails. Do you feel that the diversion authority is listening to the upstream people, that they're getting a place at the table where they can be heard and they're not just poo-pooed away like they feel they are?
Of course. This is something that we actually met about recently in terms of all the conversation over the past several years about never having their voice heard. The voice, the hearing of the voice is what has caused numerous,
I think,
the early stages of it being on the Minnesota side, the North Dakota side, the downstream, switching back to the upstream, the whole issue of, quite frankly, there was voices from that area about the value of their properties, which caused us to look at that. The whole issue of mitigation for producers in terms of easements and insurance is an indication that we are listening. And so I don't know where it is that we aren't listening. The fact is that unless we change to retention, they feel that we aren't listening. And the fact is that retention is not the answer. The plan that they put forth in terms of Fargo First was a ludicrous plan because it basically stated that 20% reduction plus moving it a mile north will get you your protection, when in fact 96 projects, and the Fargo Forum did a great job of indicating what 96 projects would mean in terms of decades and decades and similar amounts of money. So, and where's the people that are going to step forward and offer their land for that? So offering a solution that is a mountain to climb, it's far more even of a mountain than the diversion is not an answer.
Chairman Vanio, is there, if the diversion does not happen, is there a backup plan? Is there a plan B?
If you're talking about, you know, should something fail, you know, through the courts, or something should fail at the federal level with a diversion.
Yeah.
I think what we're doing right now in terms of the internal levies continues to go on. And quite frankly, Jay, if all else fails, what do you think would happen if we had a 100-year event, 200-year event, or more? We'd be doing the exact same thing as what we'd be doing with the diversion. That's putting a levee on the south end of town and backing water up to the south of us. And at that point, there would be no mitigation, no protection for the people south of that. And because we've been able to do that, and we've done it in the past for floods through getting permits from the state. So what is different? What is different, well, except for the fact that we are preparing in advance?
That's a really nice threat, you know, to say it's either this or that. I mean, that's just, you talk about ludicrous to say it's either this or you're going to get that, and that's the way it's going to be.
Well, no, that's what we've done.
There's a big difference between temporary and permanent.
There's proof in 2009 that we started that. I mean, it's not a threat. It's what happens when you protect larger cities.
Well, Commissioner, where have you been for the last 12 years on the city commission or county commission to protect those in interior protection for the city? Second Street, you're finally starting to address that now. Why is it taking so long? It's all about economic development to the south. That's what it is. Fargo can have its protection without this diversion.
No, I think we can carry on an argument that
we'll go on for hours.
But I'd agree.
I say we'll end up going on for hours, gentlemen. And I know you're both busy men, and we'll save it for another day. I think both sides were able to get their feelings and their points out, and why they think each way is the better way to go. And we'll pick this up again. Daryl Vanio is the chair of the FM Diversion Board Authority. Daryl, thanks for the time this afternoon on such short notice. And Nathan Burseth with the MNDAC Upstream Coalition. Again, Nathan, thank you for giving us time on such short notice as well. And gentlemen, back to your corners, and we'll hit it another day.
Thanks a lot, Jay.
Thanks, gentlemen. Appreciate it. I know we got callers waiting. We got to move on.